Now, the earliest phases of these Greek settlements in Anatolia are very, very poorly known. Partly this is due to the fact that this region was still in a dark age, and the art of monumental building was yet to be developed. The buildings were quite ephemeral in nature, simply made of mud brick and thatch, maybe some simple roof beams. Another problem with this region is that in time, many of these cities became very important centers and were rebuilt to a grandiose state. And so the early phases are long shrouded underneath these great buildings. However, we have a little bit of information about what some of these early settlements were like, dating to about 1000 BC. One of these comes from the site of Smyrna, which is today the modern city of Izmir. And what has been excavated there shows a very, very simple lifestyle of the early inhabitants that had come over from Greece. A simple oval house that is cut into bedrock, its foundations cut into bedrock, made of sun-dried brick. This dates to about the 10th century BC and is the oldest known Greek dwelling in Anatolia. So quite simple indeed. To the south is the great city of Ephesus that I will be talking about. So we'll talk about Ephesus more in the future. But in its origins, it was quite a simple town. It was inhabited by Greeks coming from Athens, and we have almost nothing about the first centuries of its existence. However, in the 7th century BC, there was a temple built at Ephesus dedicated to the Greek goddess Artemis. And now this was a very simple structure made out of mud brick surrounded by a wooden colonnade. And so just very scantily preserved in the archaeological record. But what's important about it is that unlike most Greek temples, this building opened to the west, focusing on the setting sun. Now, virtually every temple in Greece is oriented in the opposite direction. The Greeks tended to associate their gods with light and with life, and so focused their temples eastward on the rising sun. But the opposite occurred at Ephesus. And what scholars have understood, and I'm sure this is the case, is that the nature of Artemis is quite different at Ephesus. Now, Artemis usually is a goddess associated with virginity and the hunt. But at Ephesus, she's also focused on childbirth and death, in particular, death in childbirth. So most scholars concur that the reason why Artemis is worshipped quite differently at Ephesus than in the rest of Greece is because Artemis here has been combined with a local Anatolian goddess, and the local goddess is the goddess Cybele of the Phrygians. Now, you can imagine that when the Greeks arrived here, about 1000 BC, with their own ideas, they would encounter natives with their own religious systems, their own cultural systems. And what we can see is that very often these two systems of life combine. And in Anatolia, many of the deities that were worshipped back in Greece get connected or combined with local Anatolian gods. And the most prevalent is this goddess Cybele, whose aspect of connection with wildness and childbirth gets connected to the Greek goddess Artemis. So we'll be talking about the Artemis of Ephesus more in this class. But for now, let's just say that by the 7th century BC, the earliest temple of this goddess already shows that the traditional worship of Artemis in Greece has been combined with the traditional worship of Cybele in Anatolia.